And we're going to, last week I had began to share and things about being content and contentment and all, and how important that is and how useful it is. And then somewhere in that message I shared just a little bit about the things of being, you know, Proverbs came out in something of my conversation. And so this past week, as I was sitting and thinking about some things and was sitting at a restaurant, I took my little blue Bible in and was sitting there, and I just opened up to Proverbs and began to read the beginning of Proverbs. And it just, you know, we've all kind of read Proverbs, haven't we? And, you know, there's that plan, 31 chapters for the month of 31 days, one a day, and things of that nature. And so we've probably all gone through those, and it's been wonderful, and those sayings and those things were just right on, amen? Makes you stop and think, makes you say, hey, there's something to this. And so here I find myself beginning at square one. Let's just go Proverbs 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just start reading these things. And so today I want to share some of those insights into that. And it's nothing other than what's already in the Bible that's already there for us to help us with our life. Amen. We all need help. We need direction. Hallelujah. You know, no matter what age you are, you need direction. Don't you agree? I mean, you know, so I know we think younger, you need direction. Middle age, well, you ought to have it all down. You get up there, you know, you can order off the senior menu. You don't need any more wisdom. You got it all. No, you still need wisdom for the things of this life. And Proverbs is very good for that. And so we're going to probably pick through some things in Proverbs and just kind of touch upon it for the next couple of weeks and just see where it goes from there. But I think because of things in my life that I deal with, and then I'm sure things that you guys, anybody out there dealing with things in life, you know, decisions, directions, focus, and things that you're looking at. And I know we're all going to God and saying, well, God, I want the mind of Christ. We've talked about having the mind of Christ. We've talked about, you know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, perfect being mature, be a mature people, you know. We all come to him as little children, but he doesn't expect us to remain as little children. He does expect us to grow, to develop, to listen, read and listen, meditate upon his word, and for that direction in our lives. And so it's throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament and everything in between those things, that we find tremendous wealth of information for us. I do anyway. I hope you do. And if you don't and you come through a verse or you're trying to figure it out, it doesn't hurt to just stop, put it down and say, okay, Lord, I read this, da-da-da-da-da. Read it again. I read it again. How does this pertain to me? How does this speak into the situation that I'm going through right now? How can it help me? You know, the Lord is there to help us. Amen. He made a way where there was no way because of dying on the cross for us to have guaranteed into eternity for those that receive Christ as their Lord that they will have eternity. This place that we're in is what? Temporal. We're just passing through this place. We're sojourners going through this place. And so the most important thing is where are you going to spend the rest forever going to be? That's where we need to put our thoughts on. And yeah, have a good time and enjoy life here. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give an abundance and to take the yokes of bondage off of you. And so, you know, all those things happen on this side of heaven. Amen. And I'm glad for that. Because I want to walk free. I want to be a free person, you know. And I want to do the things that Christ has put into my life and the things that God has instilled to me to what his word has shared and the plan and the purpose that he has for me. Hallelujah. We were out of town this last week and we stay at the motels and things of that nature. And throughout each day we try to leave a something for those that take care of the room for us. You know, just like a tip or whatever you want to call it. And I always try to leave some encouraging word like on the notepad that's there, something like that, you know. And just say, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for being here and taking care of the room for us. God bless you. Or, you know, write a scripture in there. That last I left on Friday was just my scripture, Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13, because that's ministered to me so much. Many, many years ago, and it still ministers to me to this day, that God said that I have a plan and a purpose for your life, a plan for success, not for failure, and that if you will call upon me, I will hear you, you know. And I got to obey those things too, you know. It's a two-way street there. But anyway, you know, you want to go out there and you want to leave encouragement. I would encourage you that if you go out, and you go out to eat, and you go out and you do things, and somebody serves you, and you want to be a blessing, you know, blessing is that with finances. This world is made upon finances, isn't it? You know? And talk is cheap, so they say. I can sit there and say, be blessed, I'm praying for you, you know, or thank you for your service. But if I don't leave a 5 or a 4 or a 3 or whatever the case might be, you know, where the Lord presses upon you, that, you know, it just lets them know that, hey, and this is not really my message today, but it's like, we got to get to the point where the money doesn't have us and the financial thing doesn't have us. We want to be a blessing where we go, and you want to get people's attention. And if God has blessed you, bless others. Amen? Amen. We find that even within Proverbs itself, where it talks about, you know, not being foolish with your finances, but also helping those that need help and being there and just encouragement. And what better way to encourage people than just say thank you for doing this? You go out to a restaurant, bless that waitress. Those people work hard, man. They work hard. There's times I've been out with people and they leave a couple of dollar tip and I look at that and I go, oh my goodness. And after they leave, I'll put down a few more dollars on there just to be a blessing. And that's not to say anything negative, but it's just like God has given us and blessed me, you know, and I want to be a blessing. Do you want to be a blessing? Now, that's with finances, but you can be a blessing with the words you say, with the things you share, with how you talk to people, how you share with people, how you really put yourself out there to let them know that you really are concerned for them, that you're not just walking through and just, hey, hope everything's good, how's it going, and keep walking when they've got a problem. I've shared that before to where way back when I was working the secular job, and this lady always said, how you doing? And I just noticed she always kept walking after she said it. How you doing, Tim? Did that many, many days. So Tim's thinking, I'm going to get her. So she came through one morning and says, how you doing, Tim? She kept walking. And I said, man, I'm really having a rough time. This happened, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I just started making up stuff. You know, I was lying. Oh, boy, now I'm a liar. Now I got to repent from that. I just thought of that. But it stopped her in her tracks. She got probably about 15 feet from me, and she just stopped. And she turned around and looked at me. I said, well, you asked me how I was doing. And then we laughed and smiled because she knew I was a jokester. But it really comes to a point, to drive a point home, that when you ask somebody that, listen. And so much in today's life, we're just go, go, go. And we want to sound good. We want to make it where maybe we got a good heart. We're thinking right. We're doing the right thing. But listen. Stop. They might have a situation they need prayer about. They just need to talk to somebody. And what better than that of a person that can just lend an ear? Does that cost you anything? No, just stop and say, man, that is hard. I didn't know you were going through that. Is it okay? I'll, you know, lift it up in prayer, you know, throughout the day when I'm before my Lord. I just, you know, pray and I'll remember you. So it's things like that. But anyway, that's being a difference. That's being out there to where you're wanting to show the love of Christ out there. And it's more than just going to church, giving an offering, looking at the bulletin, singing a hymn or two, and then go home. That's well and good. And that's a wonderful thing to do, but you gotta, it's more than that, you know? More than that. Hallelujah. You got a quick one? Well, yeah, real quick. We'll give you a testimony here. Oh, he's got a pie. He's got a hooky up back there. The sound man got out of the booth, man. Oh, he caught him off guard. Hey, what's happening there?
Pastor Stephen, Tomah, Wisconsin. I'm a truck driver and a foot soldier for God. I walk in. Young lady, waitress, came over. I sat down. She gave me my menu. And the Lord said, you need to pray for this girl. And she went back in, came back, take my order. I said, young lady, there's some things going on in your life the Lord told me to pray for you about. She goes, really? I go, yeah. She started getting excited. So I stood up and I held her hands and I started praying. I prayed over her. And all of a sudden, she just turned beet red. Just beet red. I go, what's going on? She goes, well, she says, you know, I go to church with my parents and I go to church with my boyfriend. And I really like the church that my boyfriend goes to, but my parents don't want me to go to that church. And I said, well, why don't you invite your parents to go to his church 1 week and you go to their church the next week? She goes, that's a great idea. I'm going to have to try that. And, you know, I've been back there, and I've wanted to talk with this gal and find out what's going on, and I haven't seen her since. So now the Lord is leaving me in limbo, trying to figure out what's going on with this girl. But I know in my heart that one day I'm going to run into this girl. And she's going to say, thank you. I just feel that in my heart. Thank you for praying over me and giving me those ideas that God does work. Miracles everywhere. He goes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Very good. Amen. And see, that's being receptive, man. You got to have your antennae up. You got to be listening out there. And ears on. Have your ears on. Hey, good buddy. Got my back door. Got my front door. I'm going to be in the rocking chair. That's all. I wasn't a truck driver, but I had a CB, okay? I'd probably do that too. Yeah. But, so it's being receptive and open, because God is going to drop things into you. And some of the things generally he's going to tell you to do, you don't even make sense. It's like, huh? What? I'm going to just share this with this person? That's not very profound, you know, type thing. And it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be the right thing at the right time for that person to hear that connects them to the next dot, to the next dot, to the next dot. You guys have worked those little dot puzzle things when you were younger, and maybe even now, you know. I liked them. It was like, I could follow that. 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. You know, when you start out and you're looking at that place, it's a mess. All I see is a bunch of dots. It's like, what's going to come out of this? But I dot by dot by dot, and by the time I'm done, if I don't cross my lines, there's a picture there. It's like, wow, look what happened here. And that's what happens in our relationship as we serve and follow Christ, and he puts things in our path and things in our heart to share. You're just dotting a dot somewhere for somebody, and somebody else will come along and draw that line to someplace else. But you know what it's all going to do? It's going to draw that line and draw them into a relationship with Christ down the line, somewhere that, you know, that Christ has that opportunity for opening up that spirit. So that's good. So, you know, we look at these things, and what's it all about? How can I be effective? How can I do this? How can I do that? Proverbs is very good to kind of help us keep us on the road, between the lines, so to speak, of the things that we're doing and going. We find out that, you know, Proverbs, we're going to share just a little insights here and look at a couple things and where we're at time-wise. But it says that a proverb is a short epiphany. It's a short but brief but a full of substance, meaningful statement. And that's what's so great about Proverbs. It doesn't get into a long, drawn-out things. It's just like, you know, points of things like do, doom, 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 doom. And you'd read those and it's like, wow, 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 wow. Now I know why I'm having trouble, because I'm doing this. Or now I know why I should be doing that. So it's just a brief but full of substance, and it's full of meaning, a statement that is there. It's in his word. Hallelujah. It's for us. It's for you. It's on human nature. It's generally going to deal about human nature and life. It's everything that you're going to deal with in this life. It's going to be there. Proverbs will help you. In the Bible, Solomon is singled out for his use of Proverbs, 1 Kings. If I go back to 1 Kings 4:32, it says that he spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. Solomon. That's awesome. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here as I probably jump off of what I've got here. But since we're already there, it's like, well, how did Solomon come to be such a wise guy? How many here are wise guys? It's okay. It's okay to be a wise guy. Now you're taking it to the secular side. Wise guy, you know, oh yeah, one of them guys. I want to be a wise guy. So we find in 1 Kings, this is where it's kind of coming about. We find it in 3rd chapter. Solomon, he's made a treaty with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and marries Pharaoh's daughter, and then he brought her to the city of David until he finished building his own house, and it's going on beginning of chapter 3. And we find that at Gibeon, the Lord appeared, and this is where it's at. Now, and Solomon loved the Lord. That's the first thing we got to do. Love the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, King David. Solomon is the son of David. Except that he sacrificed and he burned incense in high places. And this was the time back then. They thought in some of their burning of sacrifices, they felt the higher up you were, the closer you were to God and the incense. And so it was going closer. So anyway, we find that now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. King Solomon went there to sacrifice, for that was where the great high place was at. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now it's there that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Yeah. Woo! Anybody ever had a dream and God's in it? And God is telling you something? It's like, whoa! My goodness. The Lord appeared, and you know, as he appeared to Solomon there, the Lord is appearing to each and every, well, will or can appear to us today in a dream, in things that he has, in visions, and these things that he can put within you. But anyway, let's go on. He said he appeared to him in a dream by night, and that God said this. Could you imagine? Now, here's God asking this to you. Ask, what shall I give you? Wow, that's a loaded question. God were to come to you, Tracy, and say, ask what I shall give you. What's Tracy thinking? Well, let's see, a new truck, new house, you know. That's what I would be doing, you know. I'm right with you, Tracy. You know, hey, I would like this and that, and oh, just a wonderful thing. And it's good, okay, to a point. But he asked, what shall I give you? And Solomon says this, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, who is my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Me, Solomon. Now, O Lord, my God. Everybody say that. Now, O Lord, my God. You have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I'm immature. Now, he wasn't that he was really young. He was still of some age. But to have that responsibility, at least he was owning up to it, saying this, that, oh, my, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child, and I do not know how to go out or to come in. Solomon was not young in years, but young in years, but this was a humble admission of his inexperience. It's okay to be inexperienced with God. God already knows that. And it's not really what you know, how much you know, and all these things. It's just like, hey, I'm willing. I want to be obedient. I want to be used by you, Lord. You say go, I want to go. You say stop, I want to stop. You do this, Lord, I just want to please you. If we can have that heart, if we can just say, I want to be a God pleaser, and not a man-pleaser, God will just open up so much for you, and you won't even understand it at the beginning, and you look back after 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, 10 years, whatever the case is, and you say, oh my goodness, how did that all be accomplished? But only by God. Because of where I was at, and what I know or don't know, and how he used us. But it's just looking, God is just looking for willing vessels to be used by him. Don't go to him with any preconceived idea about what you want to do. Just go to him with an empty slate and say, here I am, Lord. Start drawing the dots. Connect the dots in my life. But I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. In verse 8, 1 Kings 3:8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. So he wasn't just over a small bunch of people. He was over a great amount. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding or a hearing heart. It's one of the first things we're going to have as we serve God, and God has things for us to do. We need to have an understanding, a serving heart. A hearing heart. Amen. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Wow, this is what would be neat. This is like, you know, we talk about where you stand before the Lord and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 10, this speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Remember, go back and God says, ask, what shall I give you? Tell me what you want. What shall I give you? Therefore, he says, give me an understanding heart. Give me a heart that hears how to judge and what to do for your people. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be anyone rise up after you. Wow. That tells me that Solomon had a pretty special place. None before you, and there will be none after you, will have such wisdom as what you've got that I'm giving you right now. And I have also given you what you have not asked. See, God already knows. Doesn't say in His Word, He already knows what we need before we ask. We just need to be honest. We just need to be open. We just need to, you know, Lord, I just want to please you. Lord, I just want to do the right thing in your eyes. And I want to be able to judge. I want to be able to hear people. I want to be able to do the right thing or have an understanding of the people, listening with an open heart, Lord, whatever it might be. And when God sees that in you, He will also say, and I have also given you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings and offered up peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. And then it all started. And that's where then we get over to 432, and it says that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Proverbs. A brief statement full of substance and meaningful. So we find that in the Bible, Solomon is singled out for his use of proverbs in 1 Kings 4:32. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, a song of 1,005. In a proverb, we find God's truth accessible to all people. Everything in Proverbs is accessible to you. Isn't that good to know? It's good, man. It's good to have Proverbs. It's good to have that direction. Hallelujah. I've lost my place here. Here we go. So that he might direct your lives in accordance to his will. You know, not my will. Jesus said, it's not my will be done, but let his will be done. We hear Jesus say that, we read that, and we ought to be that same way where we're at in this place and this time, that it's not my will, Lord. I want your will to be accomplished in Harvester's Church. I want your will to be accomplished even in my life, my personal life, and where I'm at and what you're doing with me, Lord. It's not for me, Lord, it's for you. You got to be sold out for him. You've got to become to him. You know, you've got to surrender. I surrender all to him. You've got to surrender it all to him. And that's what he's wanting. So anyway, let's move on. Solomon was the third king of Israel, the son of the great King David. Solomon also gave us the book of Solomon, or the book of Song, as well as Ecclesiastes. Those are wonderful books to read. Ecclesiastes and things, and signs of the times, and a time to live, and a time to die, a time to bloom, and a time, all these things. Solomon. The book of Proverbs contains instruction on many practical matters of daily life. How many here have a daily life? You walk out life daily? All right. This is probably going to pertain to some of us. The book of Proverbs points the believer to God with instructions on how to live a holy and upright life. That's what it's about. It's not to be a, oh, I'm holier than thou, you know, type thing. But it's to be, I want to live a holy and upright life for my God. I want to be that example. I want to be that living epistle. We've talked about that. You know, the epistle of the day is written on your heart, what he is doing in your life. Your testimony is basically another book of his Bible. You know, we're not adding anything to it. We're not taking it away from it. But your walk and your testimony is what's going to draw people probably to more things of God, because you live that book. Who's lived the life of Jesse but Jesse? Or the life of Pat, but Pat. Any one of us. That is your book. And what is written in it? Now, what's wonderful, even in some of the books, your life might start out terrible. You're beginning chapters of 1, 3, and 5, and you know, you might be a chapter of a book of like 50 chapters or 12 chapters. I don't know what chapters you're in, but I could say that if you're beginning of your book for chapter 1, 2, and 3, you looked at your life now and you say, man, that was despicable. That was terrible. I didn't do anything for God. I was running from Him. I was actually doing the things of the God of this world. I was serving the devil more than I was serving God. But that was only in chapter 1 and 2. Here now in chapter 7. You've had a born-again experience. You've changed your life. The Spirit is within you. Your spirit's been renewed. You're hooked up to the Spirit of God, and He's downloading His life and thoughts and things into you. He's saying that, hey, you know, we've got to get rid of the mind of the world and have the mind of Christ, and it's there for us through that of the Holy Spirit. So we're getting downloaded information now. So you're in chapter 7 or 8 or 9, and don't look back at chapter 1 and say, oh boy, I was a loser. Maybe back then you were, but now you're in this chapter here, and now you're a winner. Because why? Christ is in your life. And it's going to move on and continue to grow and continue to bloom and continue to do the things for God. So you are that living epistle. You are out here, and this is what this life is all about. Until you're called home, whenever that might be. So the book of Proverbs contains instructions on practical matters of daily life. It points the believers to God with instructions on how to live an upright and holy life. It has 31 chapters, 31 days a month, generally 30 to 31 days a month. There you go. Proverbs discusses many practical matters to help believers live in harmony with God as well as their neighbor. It's one thing to live in harmony with God. It's another thing to live in harmony with the person next to you. Look at the person next to you where you're sitting. Huh. Yeah. Now you know why it's a problem sometimes. Yeah, need help, but it'll help you get along with your neighbor. Reading through Proverbs, you will come to find how to choose the right friends. See, we look at this life, and we always want to blame somebody else, and it was this, and it was that, and all. But really, if we get right down to the brass tacks, and you talk to people that are having a hard time, you find that they put themselves in that hard time because of the choices they made, the people they hung with, the things they did or didn't do. And it's like, you know, we all done dumb things in our life, right? We're all growing up and young, and you did foolish things, and oh my goodness. Now you're a little bit older, you're wiser. You say, well, that was silly. I'd never do that again. Well, praise God. You know, you probably won't because you've matured. You're learning. You're growing. But it'll tell you how to choose right friends. It'll tell you about the value of work. We have a day and age now where we don't have a work ethic out here in this society, really. It's like, hey, if I can get something from the government and they'll pay me to stay home, I'm going to take it. And that's what's happening. So we have no work ethic out there. You know, it talks about the things of when you have adultery and the perils of adultery. What does that do? It helps you and understands how to deal with others in business. We've had some very unethical business situations out there in the business world, haven't we? They robbed and taken and whatever they could get and plunder because it was that of riches and money, you know. Money is just, you know, how the love of the money and the root of it. You know, they just took it and they wanted more. And so business practices and things out there, and even when you have a dealing with a business partner, maybe it goes awry. But it'll help you understand how to handle a business partner, how to get into business and things. Dangers of a strong drink. You know, if you drink too much and it's very strong, it's probably going to mess you up, man. How to treat the poor with compassion. Remember, we talked about treating the others out there and others that are maybe not as blessed as you are to be a blessing to those, being how to treat the poor with compassion. The values of a strong family tie, the folly of pride and anger, and the characteristics of genuine friendship. I was blessed. This past week, we were visiting down home area. And went out and had lunch, or dinner with my best friend and his wife. We try to do that every time I go down to see my wife's parents. And I always try to make a connection if I don't go out with him, at least call him or even talk to him or whatever. And so we're sitting at the table on Wednesday night at a restaurant, and he looks over at me and he goes, Tim! I go, yeah. He goes, you know, just the other day, he goes, I was thinking. And maybe after I called him like the week before saying, hey, Howard, we're going to be down there on these such and such a days, and I'd really like to get with you and Barb, and we can go out and have a meal and just visit, you know. Maybe that's when that week he started thinking about it. But anyway, he's across the table from me. He says, you know, we've known each other for 50 years. Man, he's not even in my blood brother. He's not even my family. But I've known him longer than I've known my family almost, you know. But that's that friendship that's there. Do I have that with every friend that I grew up in high school? It's like, no, this goes back to sixth grade, man. This is my buddy from sixth grade. You know, and I'm 50, whatever, you know. I'm only that far away from the senior menu, but they keep raising the price. Where I'm at now, it used to be at 52. You were a senior. You got a discount. Them dirty dogs are raising the price now. You got to get up there to 62, 65. You know why they're doing that, but kind of, by the time you get to that age, you don't have teeth and you can't eat that much. It's a plan. It's a plan out there. That's all I know. It's like, what happened to 52 and 55? You used to get the senior discount. Now it's got. Now you're 58, and now I'm 59. I'm still trying to get up there, man. By the time I get to 62, there's a, whoop, senior discount's at 67 now. It's like by the time I get to the senior discount, it's going to be an IV of glucose water for half price. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know, you know? But to have friendship, and that's what it talks about here where it says genuine friendships. Characteristics of a genuine friendship is what I've got with my friend Howard, man. You know, we're like this. You know, it's dangerous because we have the same mind. My wife, she just shudders when we get together at a restaurant and talk because we can. One time we went to a Cracker Barrel down there a few years ago. We went in and ate and sat there probably for an hour and whatever, a couple hours in the restaurant, maybe an hour and a half. Then we went out on the front porch and we sat out there for another hour or so. And of course, now, if you're like me, when you drive by a restaurant and you see people sitting out on the front porch, what's your first thought? Oh, man, there's a line to wait to get in. We had people come up and they'd stop, you know, and they go, oh. They go, there's no waiting inside. We're just sitting out here visiting. It's okay. Go in. I don't know how much business we drew away from Cracker Barrel because they saw us sitting out there like, oh, man, I don't have time to sit in a line. So it's just sitting and talking and chatting and reminiscing and just laughing. Hallelujah. The laugh is good. You guys need to laugh sometime. You need to find a friend. You need to find somebody out there that you can just crack jokes with and just laugh and think of the stupidest things, but yet laugh at them and think like, oh my goodness. You come away from it so relieved and like younger. I keep getting younger. I'll never get to that senior prize. But anyway, that's a friendship. And it talks about that in Proverbs of a genuine friendship. I would hope someone out there in your life is a genuine friend. A friend. We find that the Proverbs were written about 950 B.C. before Christ, with portions going up to about 720 B.C. before Christ, as we're getting closer to that of the Lord. The finding of the key words that you will find in Proverbs are going to things about wisdom, we've already touched upon, knowledge, understanding, instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I need more wisdom. Well, fear the Lord more. You know, and not be scared of him like he's going to squash you. Fear him in reverential fear of who he is and what he means and what he can do. He's a loving God. But he's a powerful God. He's a God that will take no for an answer. He will not take no for an answer. You know, as much as you want to try to run from him, he's saying, it's okay, Tim, I got your number. You can keep running, but you ain't going to hide. You can come now, or I'll catch you down the road another 15 years if you want to keep going. But I'm going to get you, you know, I'm going to keep on you. And so we find those things that God is a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a God that's there for us. But, you know, we want to have fear of him and knowing what he can do. Solomon authored most of the Proverbs. We find that most of it was written by Solomon. There's if we get into the back here, we'll find out some things. Chapters 25 to 29, they were not added until about 200 years after he died. And it was probably some people found some writings of his, men of King Hezekiah, I think, and they penned it and put it in there. So it was like 200 years after Solomon died that there was chapters 25 to 29 were added and copied into it. We've already talked about how did Solomon become so wise. We've already touched upon that. God was pleased with Solomon's request. He not only made Solomon wise, but he also gave him great riches and power and a time of peace. Can you believe that you can have peace when you serve God? You should. And if you're serving God and in line with his word and he's in line with you and you're in step with him, even though all hell is breaking loose around you, you should just be like a cool cucumber just walking it out, saying, no big deal here. It's all in his control. It's all in his timing. I'm just going to be found faithful with what he wants me to do. And if I'm faithful with what he wants me to do, he's going to be there with me and he's going to provide for me, take care of me, whatever the case might be. I don't need to run to and fro. As you read Proverbs, you understand that knowing God is the key to wisdom. Listening to the thoughts and the lessons from the world's wisest man and apply these truths to your life. This is Proverbs. This is important. That's why we need to get into that. And this is like a really a, just a beginning, an opening of trying to get to this whole thing. But you have to have kind of a groundwork about Proverbs. You could just jump in. Let's start reading number one. But let's look at the background of what this is going to be and the purpose of it and how it helps us. Listening to the thoughts and the lessons from the world's wisest man and apply these to your truth or to your life. Don't just read Proverbs. Don't just read the Bible anyway. Just don't read the Bible just to read it. Use what you learn from Solomon's writings in your daily life. Use what you read in God's Word daily in your life. That's where when you read something in Scripture and it doesn't quite match or you don't have an understanding, be open to God and say, Lord, what does this mean to my life? What am I to learn? What am I to gain from this Word of yours? Because His Word does not return void. His Word is out there to lead us and to direct us and to guide us. So don't just read it. Try to find out how it affects your life and what you're going to learn from it. So quickly, the outline, just looking at the Proverbs here, okay, quickly, the outline of Proverbs, wisdom for young people. I want to get there, and let me read this. I'm going to stop right there. I want to read it out of this book here. Stephen, you're a truck driver. There's a gentleman who worked down at the plant here that was at the tank farm, I think they called it. And truck drivers would come in and unload their fuel or different things at the tank farm at GM when it was up and going. And this man down there was part of that group down there, and he oversaw that area. And he bought cases of these Holy Bibles, the Cowboy Bible, Bob Hicks. And I don't know how many Bibles he handed out. Bless his heart, I've got one or two. And this one here, I got my pages torn, my back's coming off of it, but Bob would be down there, and a truck driver would come in, and I don't know if he did to everyone or if he felt led by the Lord at times. All of a sudden, the Lord would say, give that truck driver a Bible. So Bob would go over and start talking to him and maybe finding out some things, and he'd say, here, I got something for you. And he'd give these truck drivers these Cowboy Bibles. It's really neat. It's an easy-to-read ER type thing, so it's easy just to read and some good information. But anyway, this is the Bible I'm going to read out. And this is what began me on my trek of Proverbs. I talked about last week just passing, and the Lord brought it back this week when I was just reading some things. So in the introduction of Proverbs, it says, these words are the wise teachings of Solomon, the son of David. Solomon was the king of Israel. So that's Proverbs 1:1. Let's go into 2, and I just want to read down through about 7, and let's look at some of the things already, what this is going to be. We've touched upon them in the opening, but I just want to get to this part here. I just really find it encouraging in reading it out of this Cowboy Bible, the easy read. It says that these words are written so that people can be wise and know the right things to do. How many people out there have you talked to, they go, I just don't know the right thing to do. I don't know how to make up my mind. I don't know what decision I should do. I just don't know the right thing to do. These words are written so that people can be wise and know the right things to do. These words will help people understand wise teachings. Oh, I just don't understand what's being done. I don't understand what God is wanting. I don't understand when I read. Proverbs is being written for people to understand. Wise teachings. These words in verse 3, these words will teach people to develop their minds in the right way. People will learn the right way to be honest, fair, and good. Verse 4, these wise words can teach people who need to learn wisdom. These words can teach young people the things they need to know and how to use that information. It's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to put it to practice, isn't it? It's one thing to know all the knowledge, but knowledge, just the knowledge, is really for naught if you don't put it into the practical aspects of living and how it applies to your life. So, verse 5, even wise people should listen to these words. Well, I don't need Proverbs. I'm smart already. I'm wise. I know how to do this. Well, that's a lie of the devil. You need wisdom as well. You know, we're just learning day by day. Even wise people should listen to these words. They will learn more and become even wiser. What's wrong with getting wiser? Wiser, you know. I'm wise, but I want to be wiser. And people who are skilled at solving problems will gain more of an understanding. Then those people will be able to understand wise sayings and stories with hidden meanings. Those people will be able to understand the things wise men say. And verse 7 says, the first thing a person must learn is to respect and obey the Lord. So as we get through Solomon's first writings of chapter 1 through the first 6 verses, it's telling you all the good things about all this stuff, you know. But then he puts the cherry on top, so to speak, of that sunda, you know, that cream on top, like, oh, God, what is this? But the first thing a person must learn is to respect and obey who? The Lord. That leads to true wisdom. But evil people hate discipline, and they hate true wisdom. And that's where a lot of the things that we see that are happening and we have problems, that the first thing a person must do is to learn to respect and obey the Lord. I can understand that when the people out there that are lost and they don't really listen to the things of the Lord and they don't obey that, that's one thing. But it's what about the people in church? What about the people that read His Word? What about the people that have an understanding? What about the people that are enlightened? What about the people that do have the Holy Spirit in them? And, you know, we talked about that a few weeks back where we went through the three types of man, the carnal man, the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Remember that said the carnal man has just enough of the Spirit in him, but he's also still got enough of the natural man in him that he's miserable. Talks about that. The carnal man, as we find in Revelations, where he's talking about, you know, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but not lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. And that's what basically a carnal man is. He's got some spiritual things. He's got some insights to God. He goes to church. He has this and that. Once he leaves church, he's out in the world. Now he's becoming the natural man again. And so there's that battle there. So we find that even within our churches. I find that kind of disturbing that it says here that, you know, the first thing a person must learn is to respect and obey the Lord. That leads to true wisdom. Evil people hate discipline. Man. Discipline is good when it's done right. Every time when I was growing up, if I had to be disciplined, you know, it was leading me down the path to where I would be disciplined so that the next time I wouldn't do that, so that I would be getting better. I would be changing my ways. I would no longer go back and do that. And I would be learning and growing. I would actually, I guess what we would be calling, I would be becoming wise to how to live. You know, if you do this, you're going to get spanked. If you do this, you're going to get rounded. If you do this, this, whatever the case might be. So you begin to learn by correction. You begin to learn by discipline. We find in God's Word where actually doesn't it say that he disciplines those that he loves. You know, I get disciplined by that of the Holy Spirit. I get convicted by the Holy Spirit when I don't do something right, or if I miss out on something, or if I don't follow the leading the right way, if I even this past week, I messed up, you know. I should have acted upon something and I didn't. And that was too late. And now you know what I got to do? I got to say, Lord, forgive me. I blew it, Lord. I thought I was right there. I thought I was hearing and, you know, and you probably unctioned me to do it. And actually he did. But I held off and I didn't do it. I thought, well, you know what? There's always a what? Tomorrow. A tomorrow. A tomorrow, a tomorrow, a tomorrow. And then I find out that what I should have done, because then that tomorrow came around, and what the person I should have done it to wasn't there. I thought, oh, goodness gracious, Lord, I'm still learning. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I felt those things like that, and I feel that's the correction that he does, but it wasn't a whipping. It wasn't like, you know, that type of a thing. But really, if you're walking with the Spirit and the Spirit is in you, it doesn't take much unction from the Spirit for God to get a hold of you. If you're listening and sensitive, because all of a sudden it'll just hit you. Oh, boom! Tim, why didn't you do this at that time? Well, who's in the room with me? Who's here? It's the Spirit of God. But he's gently just telling me, you know what, Tim? And, you know, we here again, we just learn and learn. We just learn better. Like you just, Stephen, you know, you heard that unction, you know, just share. The Lord said, I need to pray with you or talk with you and share some things. And you gave her some wonderful wisdom there probably of how to deal with a situation that she was struggling with, you know? And it's like, wow, it's great to be able to walk into that situation and walk out. And it doesn't make you go, whoo, look at me. I'm just Mr. Spiritual Man, you know? No, it just says, Lord, I pleased you, I hope. I hope you're happy with what I did, Lord. I honored you. I reacted to what you've asked me to do, and I just want to live my life that way. Well, we'll find those things as Proverbs is helping us deal with these situations, that we will grow in these things and develop in these things. So I'm going to just outline it real quick as we close down, and then we'll get into it next week in some of the beginnings of these things. I don't really know how it's all going to work out as far as, you know, 31 chapters and all that, and taking 31 Sundays. That'll be like half a year. It's like only 52 Sundays in the. So we won't do that. We'll kind of speed ahead on some things and some areas that the Lord will bring to us. But anyway, I think I know where we want to go there. But the outline of Proverbs is wisdom for the young people would be that of chapters 1 through chapter 9, verse 18. Solomon is instructing the young people of his day like a father giving advice to his child. While many of the Proverbs are directed toward young people, the principles supporting them are helpful to all believers, young or old. So it's good for all of us, guys. And anyway, you know, you might be 50, 60, 40. You know, you're still young. You're still young in the scope of the things of God, aren't you? It talks like a year is like a thousand, and a thousand like a year. Yeah, hey, a day. And so, you know, we're all still young in this. In chapters 10 through 24, so you're looking at Proverbs 10 through chapter 24, wisdom for all people. This is where Solomon is wanting to impart wisdom to all people, regardless of their age, regardless of their sex or position in society. We should study them and integrate them into our lives. And then lastly, we find that wisdom for leaders. And this is coming out of Proverbs chapter 21 through 31. And these were, in addition to the Proverbs that Solomon collected, the men of Hezekiah collected many Proverbs that Solomon and others wrote, and they can be found in 25 through 31. And it goes on and on. And I tell you what, guys, in the very beginning of chapters 1 through 9, when you go through those, you're going to find out about obeying parents. You're going to find out about avoiding bad company, seeking wisdom, benefits of wisdom, being kind to others, security and wisdom. There's a lot of things they're talking about wisdom, you know? Avoid the wicked, keep your heart, the perils of adultery, the faithfulness to your spouse, careful to what you promise. Don't be lazy. Be aware of adultery again. The excellence of wisdom. Avoid the folly or avoid the lack of good sense or good judgment. These are all things that you will touch upon when you read Proverbs chapter 1 through chapter 9. So those are the areas that we would probably look at. And we'll kind of look at a few of those things next week. And then we'll get into chapters 10 through 22 is really probably where we're going to dig into a little bit. These are Proverbs that contrast the godly and the wicked. So in Proverbs 10 through 22, Proverbs is contrasting the godly and the wicked, and it's also Proverbs is encouraging godly living or godly lives. Probably, I'm thinking as we go this way, where we want to spend some time on chapters 10 to 22. And then the rest of it, we'll kind of go through it and end it out that way. But I just want to encourage you to think about and maybe even start, and on your own, take chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and nothing else. Just start reading the chapter, just reading through Proverbs and allowing these things. Because I'm going to tell you, once you read these things, it's so simple, but yet it's so profound. It's like, duh, really? Is that the way it should be? I didn't know that, Lord, you know? My goodness. My son. Some people love to do bad things, and those people will try to make you do bad things too. Well, get a load of that. You are with who you hang around with. Don't listen to them. Those bad people might say, come with us, come with us. We're going to hide and wait for someone to kill. We will kill and attack some innocent person. We're going to kill that person. We'll send that person to a place of death. We'll destroy that person and send them to the grave. Then it says, we'll share all the things that we get from them. My son, verse 15, Solomon, my son, don't follow those people. How many times are people and kids out there hanging around the wrong pack of kids? And it's like, oh, what happened to my life? Where am I at? You know? And it's because of where you hung out and what you did and what you got a part of. So Proverbs 1, I would just, it's just too good. And we might have to read every one of them. I don't know. It's just powerful. But I would encourage you, please, this week, on your own, take your Bible and just open up Proverbs and just start kind of digging into a little bit and just what it speaks to you. And I'm sure, I have faith that it'll open up something in your life, that it'll get something in you stirring and it'll answer a question for you. even what you're going through that day or this week. But remember that God is not done with you yet. He's still using you. He's still wanting to use you. He's still wanting you to be a part of His work. And we're all learning, we're all growing, we're all developing. And that's where, as a body of Christ, we want to pray for one another, encourage one another, lift up one another. And just, if nothing else, we just want to see God move on. We just want to continue to see His banner. Remember, we talked about in Sunday school a few weeks back about the banner, about the names of God, and the one about banner, and how the banner is a drawing point. It's a place that people gather around to get information or to go to battle, and the praisers will go out. And so, you know, we just want to rally around each other and under His banner to go out to be what He wants us to do. Amen. So much to do and so little time. So little time. We want to wait upon You.